On the show today, we have Digital Growth Institute's very own James Robert Lay talking about his new book, Banking on Digital Growth. You got to check this one out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And we have a special show for you today. We have a new author on hand. Mr. James Robert Lay from Digital Growth Institute wrote a new book called Banking on Digital Growth, the Strategic Marketing Manifesto to Transform Financial Brands. James Robert, congratulations on this. This is pretty cool. Well done.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You've come a long ways from CU swag. Remember those days?
You know, I think that's like a big thing. It's just, it's personal transformation, and then it's also industry transformation. It's seeing what's happening now in this post COVID-19 world. When I started writing this book, it was right at 1 year ago. It was May of 2019.
Yeah.
And it's something that I had been wanting to do, something that others had been saying, hey, you really need to write the book. And so when I sat down to write it, the world was in a much different place.
Oh yeah.
But the ironic thing is that the insights and the secrets I share within the book, I feel are probably a little bit more relevant now than what they were a few months ago.
Yeah, I just got my copy this weekend. So I'm just got into it. I got my highlighter there, but I'm just getting into it. And I was going through, like, I was thinking the exact same thing. The timing of this is impeccable. I mean, you couldn't ask for better timing. You know, pardon the negativity of what's going on with COVID and stuff like that, but everyone's ramping up their digital, you know? So, and this falls right in line with that.
Well, I'm looking at this, like you said, I mean, it's unfortunate. It took a pandemic to raise the level of strategic importance around the idea of digital growth at the executive level, at the board level. Sure, it had been on like some conversation, you know, top of mind for a few, but at the bulk of the industry, I still think there were some laggards. This has been a forcing function COVID has. And the way I liken this, it's you go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, Mike, I got some bad news for you. We took a look at the blood work we drew, and you're going to have to make some changes, because if you don't, the consequences are going to be dire.
Yeah.
There's good news though. There's still time to transform your eating, to create a new exercise routine, to create some new positive habits, and you can still survive and beat whatever this, you know, thing that the doctor says that, you know, you need to cure. That's what COVID is. I really feel like for financial brands and for credit unions, it's like, this is real.
Right.
Digital is more important now because it is changing consumer behaviors. We're not going back to the way things were before. And it's just, now's the time. If we haven't taken the time to have a strategic conversation of how we're going to grow digitally, let's start having that conversation now. Oh, and that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, it's almost like having the conversation yesterday. So it's that dire, I think, right now. So let's get to the book. I mean, so give us a quick overview and why you wrote it. What kind of triggered your brain into doing something like this? Because writing a book is no easy task.
No. It was probably one of the most challenging things I have done both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, what problems are we going to solve, and who are we going to solve those problems first? And the way that I started this thinking process was, okay, the problems are, there's a misunderstanding, number one, of what digital growth is. And that is, I'll call it an epidemic that I see running throughout this industry. And this comes from, you know, working with hundreds of different financial brands, doing multiple industry studies, both through primary and secondary research. When we ask financial brands, you know, what their perspective of digital growth is at the leadership team, from a sales team, from a marketing team perspective, they'll typically come back and say, oh, it's online banking, it's mobile banking, it's remote deposit capture. And we're like, not really. That's the service side of the business. That's the fulfillment side of the business. How are you going to get members into that part of the business? And that's going to come through the lens of digital growth. So I start the book by defining, academically speaking, what digital growth is. Now, this isn't an academic book, but I do feel it's important to define some academic principles and definitions early and often so that we have a common language that we can speak throughout the entire organization. And so that's one of the problems there. The problems that we're solving for in this book, or who we're solving these problems for, it really is three key people. It's financial brand marketing teams, credit union marketing teams, all the way from the CMO leading the strategy piece of this through, say, a digital specialist, a content specialist, so that there's alignment in the marketing department first and foremost. If we go outside of the marketing department, we need alignment with the sales team. So maybe it's a CLO, maybe it's someone in operations, so that because marketing's role is to control the brand and to generate leads digitally. Mm-hmm. But then we also need someone to step up and to nurture and guide those leads through conversion for loans and deposits. That's where the digital sales team comes into play. Well, then the third key component of, we'll call this cast of characters, it's the leadership team. It's how does all of this affect our overall strategic vision for our credit union going forward? Mm-hmm. And so as I guide someone through this digital journey in the book, there are three key areas, three key sections that we broke the book down into. Number one being defining and really building a strong foundation for digital growth. Once we have that foundation, then we can build what we call a digital growth engine. And then after that, we can really put fuel in that engine and start to churn leads through that, nurture leads through that, and ultimately maximize our digital growth potential as a credit union.
You just answered my next four questions, James Robert. Thank you for that.
There you go.
Because I was going to ask you, because the book is basically it's made up of three sections. You know, like you said, the building the strong or establishing the strong foundation for digital growth, building the digital growth engine, and then maximizing that digital growth potential. So give us a couple, because from I've gotten, there are four fears that keep folks from really taking action here, right? So if you want to address those, number one was fear of the unknown. So what's the fear of the unknown?
Fear of the unknown is, and these fears have been spoken to me. Sometimes if the culture at a credit union is a very positive one, we'll have these conversations openly. But more often than not, these are spoken in confidence. And fear of the unknown is, I know that digital growth is important, but I'm not really sure what it is, what we should do about it. I'm kind of confused. So, and it's quite understandable, particularly for one in a marketing team or a sales team or a leadership team who has built their entire career around the physical world of branches and of broadcasts. So I got a lot of empathy to that. So fear of the unknown is one. The second, it's the fear of change. And really right in line with that is, okay, I know that the world is changing, but we've done really good up to this point. Like, do we really have to make some of these tough decisions, have these hard conversations, and change the way that we're not only thinking, but the way that we're operating? Here's a little bit of a spoiler with that.
Okay.
Let's stop talking about change, because it's human nature to strongly resist any type of change whatsoever. Yeah. We would prefer the comfort and the safety of the cave. So complacency, however, is a predictive of a future dire killer event. Mm-hmm. And I write about that in the book. We look at the retail apocalypse, and you see this quickening of traditional retail brands, you know, now more than ever, even post-COVID, are starting to file for bankruptcy, who have built their business model around the physical world.
Right.
Then we have the fear of failure, like falling right in line with that. And a lot of that is tied to people sharing with me, hey, look, James Robert, we have tried some of this. We have built these new websites. They're mobile responsive. They're ADA compliant. We're placing digital ads, but we don't know if they're even working. We're putting content on social media, but it seems like a waste of time. We just can't prove. And failure viewed at my credit union, it's not a very positive experience. And so the opportunity here is to just transform the conversation about failure internally. Failure is not bad. The only time failure is bad if you don't learn anything from it.
Right.
But failure is an opportunity is to learn and to continue to grow from good to great. And the last fear is the fear of success. Like, what if this is actually successful? What if we do start generating, as I write about in the book, 10 times more loans and deposits?
Yeah.
Can we handle that? So the answer is yes.
That was one that really surprised me, was the fourth one. It's the fear of success. It's like, whoa. And naturally people go, well, why would you ever fear that? But there are reasons why.
Well, it's interesting because the fear of success is actually tied very closely to the fear of failure, because that success requires someone to like leap out and like take a leap of courage. Mm-hmm. And so they're really, from my studies on this and talking with hundreds of financial brands, they're very closely interlinked. But that fear of success, it does keep people from committing to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Will there be anything in this book that will surprise us? What are some surprise? Well, I don't want to say some, but give us something that go, oh my gosh. Is there one of those moments in the book?
I think one of the big areas of surprise is in regards to how much we're seeing a divide of the digital haves and the digital have-nots. Mm-hmm. This comes from our study in the industry year over year now for the past 4 or 5 years, to where we see almost like the Pareto principle being applied in real time, meaning that we have the digital haves being around 15% to 20%, mm-hmm. and the digital have nots being around 80-85%. And it's not just in one key area of the digital growth blueprint or the 9 interconnected points that I write about in the book. It's in multiple areas to where we're seeing this divide. And it is my hope that we can at least get more digital haves in certain areas of the blueprint, because it's a journey. And I think that's another key point to make. That's always an aha moment when working with financial brands, because they're like, okay, we're going to go down this. And I'm like, great. It's never going to end.
Exactly.
And it's like, what do you mean? And that's a very big difference, because think about it. Like, when you build a branch or when you take on any type of project, even bringing some type of technology in, it always has a start and a stop or an end point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We can't think like that anymore with digital, because it is a continuous journey of optimization, of growing from good to great.
Yep.
Which is really, I would say, the third kind of like surprise. This is not a book about technology. This is a book about anthropology. It's about psychology. It's about sociology. And it's about how to use technology to bring people together for good. Mm-hmm. Because digital is not about technology. And that's where I find there's a lot of focus at the executive level, is all this technology talk. No. We got to put people at the center of all of our thinking and all of our doing, which for credit unions makes this journey just that much easier, because it's already built into the operational model.
Exactly. Yep. And that's the thing. I'm glad you said that, because the part I'm looking forward to the most in this book is part 3, is maximizing your digital growth potential. Because in there you talk about producing content that helps first, promoting content that will guide people, prove marketing's value once for all, and helpful and emphatic. I mean, all this type of stuff where the key ingredient is being a helper, being a teacher, being a guide. And then after that, that builds the trust, right? And then after that, you can make the sale.
Yeah. You know, one of the key themes that I come to time and time again back in the book is how to display and show empathy, how to build trust digitally, and how to guide people beyond the financial stress towards a bigger, better future on their own life's journey. Mm-hmm. When we look at financial services and just how commoditized it has become, you've got the cure. And the cure is the products that we bring to bear in the marketplace. That's great.
Yeah.
We also are now moving into some of the age of content. And that content is the contextual piece of how we can help first and how we can help second. But even then, I'm finding that content has the potential to be commoditized like products. So really the third way or the third path forward to rise above the commoditization is to add a completely new type of layer of a service offering. And that is the coaching aspect of this. Because yeah. Coaching has the potential to become an income revenue generating source. It's not something I think that we should give away for free as credit unions. And I've had some really good, strong debates about that. And here's why. If you give coaching away for free, is it going to make a difference? Or if you say, you know what? We're gonna have a coaching program, and we're gonna charge, let's just say, $99 a month for, you know, a one-on-one coaching program for our members.
And I'll take it. I'd take that.
That $99, and we've studied this, and we've looked at other firms who've applied this thinking. One of them is called the Financial Gym out of New York. Mm-hmm. It's a membership coaching program. They're finding that with a program like this, they're able to save their members $6,000 per year.
Wow.
In either by reducing loans, consolidating loans, changing financial behaviors and habits, and then they're able to increase credit scores by about 50 points. Mm-hmm. So that $1,200 investment into self has a multiplier effect over the course of the long term.
Yeah.
To me, that's the third element that goes beyond the cure of the product, mm-hmm. the help of the content, and is the transformational experience. Because it's like you can go to the gym and get a membership, and you'll probably make some like progress in your own like personal health journey.
Sure.
Or you can pay the premium and get the coach that provides the accountability and really the expertise mm-hmm. that can transform someone's life forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wealth management, and wealth management is not free, for at least from what I've seen out there. And so that's what that's basically what that is. And I think you, the key word in there was investment. You know, this is an investment in you, and that small investment is worth the bigger dividends coming back at you. You know, the return is huge.
I wouldn't even say it's wealth management, because I think when you look at wealth management, it's like, oh man, that means I need to have a lot of money. And like if you look at like the 3 points I read about in the book, you know, people want three things. They want to be healthy, they want to be wealthy, and I say that's not about being a bazillionaire. It's just I don't want to have to worry about money,
right.
Which we know that like more than 85% of consumers are stressed about money in some shape, form, or fashion, yeah. And that stress is taking a toll on their physical health. Yeah. On their mental well-being, and that third point is they want to be happy. So it's like looking at the whole life of a person. Like if you can like help someone like fix their wallet, you can help to transform their mind and help them to live a more healthier, just physical life. There's so much more that we can do as credit unions for the people in the communities that we serve beyond just give them a mortgage or a checking account or a credit card.
Agreed.
That to me is the future of financial services.
I love it. Yeah. And I think we're on our way right now because of what's happened in the last several weeks. We're on the
exactly
we're
right.
definitely on that track for sure. Having said all of this, let's look at the big picture here, James Robert. What are some goals? What do you want to achieve besides, you know, the achievement of writing it? But what do you want to achieve out there? What do you hope folks will gain from this book?
You know, my primary goal when writing this book was to get as much knowledge and information that I've gained over the last 18 years and get it out of my tiny little head and into the hearts and minds of as many financial brand marketing, sales, and leadership teams that I could. This was the only medium that I could figure out that I could get some sense of scale to start transferring knowledge out at large. Because what I'm hoping that they gain on their end is, number one, clarity. Clarity into what the growth opportunities are for digital growth in the first place. Because mm-hmm. guess what? When you gain clarity into a situation, you start to overcome the fear of the unknown.
Right.
Now the future's not so scary.
Yeah.
Number two is I want to help them to build their courage to commit to move forward. Because guess what? When you build courage, you overcome the fear of change. And when you increase the level of commitment, you start to overcome the fear of failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you commit to move forward as a team, as an organization, you can do so through an increase in confidence as you gain new capabilities. Mm-hmm. And that will then thus help to overcome the fear of success. So three specific points: clarity, courage, and commitment, and ultimately increased confidence.
And you're going to crush those fears for sure with all of those. Exactly. For sure. All right, James, exactly, Robert, right. Where can folks pick up the book? Obviously Amazon, probably a good place for it, or
Amazon. Amazon's the best place. And the interesting thing was it became a bestseller in 36 hours.
Wow. Congrats. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. I'm on your website right now, amazon.com. Okay, cool. And we'll put that link in the show notes and so people can get right to it. Anything else to wrap up, James Robert? Any final words of wisdom here?
Here's the thing, you know, when we look at what's going on right now, it's a very frustrating, confusing time. It's an overwhelming time. It's a time of chaos and crisis, not only just for us that work at a credit union. Let's not focus on us. Let's focus on the people in the communities that we serve, what they're feeling right now, because they are looking for someone that they can trust to guide them beyond this time towards a bigger, better, brighter future. And I'm hopeful. I'm very optimistic that this is just a moment in time. Yeah. It's going to really force a lot of innovation, a lot of strategic thinking, and we're going to come out on the other side of this a lot better than we ever thought that we could be to begin with in the first place.
Agreed. And this will probably help out a lot too. So go check it out, everybody. Banking on Digital Growth by James Robert Lay from Digital Growth Institute. Well done, sir. Congrats again on this. This is really, really cool. I'm proud of you. If that means anything. But
thank you.
Really neat.
Thank you. It's and thank you to you for just, you know, you've been such a big part of this journey every step of the way. And this would not be possible. It's like it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to write and to launch a book. And I appreciate you for being part of that village.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, we've known each other for a really long time. And so this is, you know, for me, seeing something like this, this is a huge, huge milestone in a person's life. And you have achieved that, sir. So congratulations again. And again, we'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes so people can get right to it. Well done, James Robert. Congrats.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And